Well, this is kind of the end. We 11 years goes by, and we do our 11th conference, and we plan and plan and plan, and it seems like it takes forever to get here, and then once we get here, it seems like it's over in a matter of minutes. And so it's hard to take all in, but it goes by really quickly. And I look forward to what the Lord has us. We don't know what's going to happen in the next year or the next 2 years. I think I had mentioned, I think I said, we'll come back and we'll revisit another 10 years. So I don't know if that's going to happen, but we pray that if that does, it's going to be in the Lord's will. And so, again, it's a little bit melancholy to be here and at the end and sad at times. I'm kind of glad it's kind of done. We've completed it and it went well. But it's also sad to be finally finished and over. So with that, there's a couple. The past couple years, I've been doing a recap, and I want to kind of do it again. And this is something my wife likes that I do. Where is she? Oh, there you are. And so, because I'm the director, I get to do this. And so, so what I do is, me and her, and we take notes through all the talks. And if I can't be in one, and she tries to be there and takes notes and writes down things that kind of grab our attention, that people say, that some of the speakers say. And so I have a list. I want to go through those and just kind of refresh your memory about the weekend. And so I'm not going to tell you who said these. You may guess, you may not know, but let me just kind of walk through there. There's a bunch of them, so just bear with me. But I think it really will jog our memories and remind us of what we've been through and what we've talked about. So these are quotes from the messages this weekend. Wherever you go, you are standing in a realm of grace. He is the hero of the story, not us. Is God at war with you? Pursue peace, dwell on things which are noble, worthy of respect, and not silly. And you remember this one? He said, Kavod, 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 holy, holy, holy. So I really like that one. Contentment, being at peace where God has you. Everywhere you go, you're showered with grace. Grace, it's an ever-flowing stream and it never stops. We stand in grace, it's a fixed position. The children of God don't stand in the acid rain of God. I think I wrote that one down. I hope I got that one right. You can't find the peace of God in your efforts. The peace of God is under attack in the technological age. God is never at war with his own people. You live in a state of grace or in the state of war. Obedience is the pathway to peace. And then this one, I'm the skunk in the garden party. Remember that one? I'm the skunk in the garden party. Scott said that one, right? I woke up from surgery, and the first thing I said to the nurse was, "Are you saved?" Peace is a wonderful thing because the war has ceased if you are in Christ. Be content with how God made you. God made you and gave you what you need to accomplish his purposes. Our peace is conditional. It's promised when we walk in his ways. Peace is conditional on us in continuing in fidelity to him. And if God creates peace, can we look to any other source? Only those reconciled to him can have perfect peace. And God doesn't reveal his grand plan, he reveals himself. I like that. God doesn't reveal his grand plan. He reveals himself. He is robed in all authority. He is full of compassion. When Jesus encounters chaos, peace is left in its wake. Like that one? By every account, both the man and the sea were untamable, but Christ calmed them both. Young people, don't trifle with sin in your life. They will destroy you. Jesus Christ interrupts your normal course of life. You can't have the peace of God without peace with God. Where does our peace come from? The source, Jesus Christ Himself. We should pray that God be glorified no matter what. God is compassionate towards us and He cares about our sorrows. To be content is to be at peace with God's plan for us. In a sense, all sins flow from a heart of discontent. And contentment is not complacency. So I hope those jogged your memory. I think I got all of them that I wrote down. I hope you leave here with those on your mind. So, excuse me. One of the things I like to do, again, is kind of just wrap up and just kind of talk about the things that happened this weekend. And so, as I started out this, Thursday afternoon, opening up, I talked about the world and the peace that it offers. This world is many things, but it is not peaceful. When we turn on the news, when we hear of constant wars and constant rumors of wars, constant crime, constant fear, apathy, anarchy, chaos, the world is not at peace. When we go to work, we find ourselves surrounded by conflict and maybe gossip, office politics, drama. When we head home, we enter our home and sometimes there's short tempers at home. Sometimes there's arguments and long developing dysfunctions. Maybe even chaos in the home. And so there's just no peace in the world, and there's no peace at times in hearts of man. But even when we find solitude, when we discover, even in that times we do find solitude and we discover to our horror that our own hearts are filled to the brim with anxiety and bitterness, rage maybe, terror maybe. And no matter where we go in this world, we can't seem to find peace. What then can we realistically expect? If this world is troubled, if this world is flowing over with constant war, what can we expect? Is it plausible to expect peace on this side of the fall? Can we expect peace on this side of what happened in the garden? And the answer is yes and no. I think it's two answers. Yes, we can have peace. Yes, as we've learned this weekend, if you've been redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ, then you can have peace with God and you can have the peace of God. John 14:27 says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So yes, we can have peace on this side of the fall. If you're redeemed, washed in the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. But also, to answer the question, you can't have peace. No for those who are not reconciled to Him. For those who are still at war, those who are still at enmity with God, there is no peace. Isaiah 57:21 says, There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. God says, there is no peace for the wicked. So the reason, the question has two answers. God's peace is rooted in the reconciliation between God and sinful man, And that was made possible by the death and the burial and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:22 says, "For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled. In the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight." Without this reconciliation between God and man, there can be no peace. There can be no genuine peace. The world and its religions seek in vain to offer peace, but they recognize only the works of man. However, such works have no merit in man's salvation. God's word is absolutely clear on that. Isaiah 64:6. "But we are all like an unclean thing, and all of our righteousness are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, all and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." Since we've been made right in God's eyes by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ has done on that cross for us. Romans 5:1. "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing this tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man one will die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received this reconciliation." So in this passage of Romans, in this scripture, Paul is, he's writing a letter to the Romans, and he says that all have sinned. And in the rest of the book, Paul says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And that salvation is by faith alone, not by works. It's a free gift of God. Peace reigns in our hearts because we are transformed from being enemies of God to being friends of God. And on the other hand, worldly peace is a concept of an ideal state of peace within and among all people of nations and nations on earth. Let me say that again. On the other hand, worldly peace is a concept of an ideal state of peace within and among all people and nations on the earth. The ideal state of the world, that the ideal state I'm talking about that the world seeks after, this peace, sometimes be called utopia. I don't know if you've heard of that term. It's in a utopia. What is that? Well, in 1516, Thomas More was born actually in 1478, but in 1516, he was venerated in the Catholic Church as St. Thomas More. He was an English lawyer, he was a judge, he was a social philosopher, he was an author, statesman, and he was a noted Renaissance humanist. He opposed the Protestant Reformation, and he wrote speeches against the theology of Martin Luther. He wrote against Zwingli, and he wrote against Tyndale. And so we've heard this term utopia, and he coined that term back in 1516. He wrote a book called The Utopia. It was a book on this ideal society this utopia, which could be built by people here and now, but not in the next life. This book he wrote explores themes such as wealth, power, slavery, and the causes of injustice. And in this book, in the book he wrote called Utopia, Moore, he imagined a perfect island nation where thousands lived in peace and harmony. Thousands lived in peace and harmony, men and women, both educated, and all property was communal. And that's sometimes what the world looks for in peace. They would look for this utopia. And that's what the world would offer in its version of peace. So earlier on Thursday, I mentioned the number of conferences, peace conferences, that's happened this year and in September, this month and next month. And I listed about 20 peace conferences over this time period. But there are more in the next few months and more next year. And what that tells me is that the world is searching for peace. There's hundreds of peace conferences, and I hope we're not included in that mix as just another peace conference. The world is searching, and its search is essentially a search for this humanist ideal of utopia that has never been achieved in our history. Ever since the fall, man has been striving for peace. However, many individuals have attempted to create their own favorable environment, and mainly through the acquisition and accumulation of wealth and material things. But there's no guarantee that this peace that they acquire would last or will last. Even in the best of human efforts, this peace is fleeting. Things can easily go sideways in a flash, and then that peace can be shattered. But for those who are children of God, there is a guarantee of peace. Those who have been purchased by the shed blood of our Lord can have peace with God. We've heard that over this weekend. Philippians 4:7, we've read this several times over the weekend. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace that guards our hearts and minds is not a human right, especially if you're an unrepentant sinner. The Greek word in this passage, guard, is a military term, and it describes a garrison or a fortress protecting the heart and the mind. No man nor devil can penetrate that garrison. We are to pray to God with thanksgiving about everything, and then we will experience His peace. Paul describes this peace as surpassing all understanding. This incomprehensible peace is that even when there is turmoil on the outside, the child of God can experience His supernatural peace within. The world can neither provide nor understand this type of peace. The peace of God comes only to those who know the God of peace. Philippians 4:9, continuing, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the peace of God will be with you. God's people can live in peace, where we see all things working together for our good and for His glory. The Apostle Paul demonstrated this way of living even while chained in darkness and in the prison. He's in a damp, dark cell. He had peace even though he was chained between two guards. So the question is, do you know this peace? Do you want to experience a peace that comes to you even though your mom is put in the hospital? Do you have this peace? Can you say you have this peace even though you may have lost your job recently? Do you long for a peace when your home is in chaos? Can you say I have the peace of God even though my circumstances, my relationships, my hopes, my dreams, never they have not been realized? If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior and you experience times without peace, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and at times you experience times without peace, then get back to God. Meet Him again. Trust Him. Love Him. Obey Him. Seek His face. And if you're in sin, confess your sin. Restore that relationship. Or if you're not experiencing peace at this moment, maybe He's teaching you something, right? So trust Him. He's working all things for your good and His glory. And if you find yourself today without peace because you're still at war with Him, repent and believe in the Lord. He loves you. Amen? He sent His Son to die for you. He offers peace to those even though they raise their fist at Him. He's kind and He's compassionate, and He loves you enough to send His only Son as an atonement for our sins. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. So as we end our conference, I want to thank you for coming. Thank you. Really, thank you for coming. I know many of you have given of your finances. Maybe you've taken time off from work. Maybe you've had to use some of your vacation time. And many of you, you could have done lots of other things. Stayed home, worked in the yard. But you've chosen to be here with us, and so I thank you. Thank you. And as we leave this place, I pray that what we've learned and talked about this weekend doesn't fly out of your mind the moment you get behind the wheel. I pray that you learn something. I pray that you've been encouraged, and I pray that you've been edified. And I pray that this ministry, this Forge Ministries, I pray that the work we are trying to do to build His kingdom has been beneficial to you and to those that come and to our Lord. At lunch today, we had our singles lunch, and Wesley Strackbine spoke at our singles lunch, our first one, and we had about 40 singles, men and women. And in his, he gave a talk. We had lunch, and he gave a talk, and Wesley asked them. So I'm gonna piggyback him. I'm trying to think of the term. He said, "Why are you coming to Forge? Why are you coming to Forge? Is it just for games or volleyball or seeing your friends?" And those aren't bad things, right? They're not bad things in and of themselves. What is your purpose here? What's your purpose for being here and taking time off and traveling and spending a weekend with us? So Wesley said, quoting him, we should be calling each of us to a higher standard. Let's elevate our speech. Let's elevate our goals. Let's elevate our aspirations. So what's your testimony? Do you have peace that this world wonders about? They see something in you that they don't have. In Eric's talk, Eric Rivas, he said he was in the hospital and the nurses and the doctors recognized something different about him. They recognized a peace. Do you have that peace? Do you have that something that when you go into the world, people stop, maybe look at you weird? Maybe ask questions. So Wesley continued, and he said, we need strong men. We need strong men. We need strong women. We need women. I put strong in there. We need women like the Proverbs 31 woman. And we need strong families. And we need strong churches. Scott encouraged us in that in the in the leaders' lunch. It happened. We need strong churches. There's a tough world out there, and we need strong Christians. We need strong Christians going into the world and being a testimony of peace and mercy and grace and compassion and love and on and on. We need these things. To a dying world searching for something outside of themselves, they need something they can grab onto. They need something to look to. They need something they can gravitate towards. Is that you? Do you have that peace? May we be those that do that. May we be a people, a community, a church, a family, individuals, moms and dads, singles, children, teenagers. May we be those that exhibit a peace that surpasses all understanding, and may we be a testimony in a world that is searching and searching and searching and searching. May we be a people who walk the streets of this world, and the world looks at you, and they see something different, something unique, something where they go, I want that. What is that? So thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. May the grace, I'll end with what Paul says. May the grace and the peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you. You're so good to us, so kind, Father, allowing us to be together and share and worship and fellowship and, Father, to hear from your word. Father, as we go out into this world, Father, is a dark and lonely and chaotic place at times, Father, we ask that you would remind us of this weekend. Remind us, Father, that the true source of peace only comes from our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, for those who don't have that peace, I pray that you would just infect their hearts, Father. Turn them, draw them to yourself, and Father, let them see the peace of God. Oh, taste and see, may we see our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for this gathering. Thank you for these families. I pray a special blessing upon them as they travel home. May you be glorified, Father. May you be exalted. And with the peace of God, Father, we are so thankful. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.